The following message was given by Brother Edwin Wrighton in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, October 23rd, 2016. The title of the message is Dealing with the Gifts. Scripture verses are 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, and chapter 12, verses 1 through 11.
We do need you this morning.
Amen.
So we open up to you.
Amen.
Lord, we need your speaking.
Amen.
We go on by your speaking.
Amen.
Oh, we're enlightened by your speaking.
Amen.
Lord, speak to us this morning.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
That we can receive more life,
Amen.
More light,
Amen.
More anointing.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I know you will do it because you're the faithful one.
Amen.
Amen. In your precious name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
So, saints, we're back in 1 Corinthians.
Amen.
I would just like to give a little introduction because it's been quite some time since we were in 1 Corinthians. And not only that, but now we're already on chapter 12. So, in case somebody's sort of disconnected, just like to give a little introduction. 1 Corinthians. Usually, when Christians look at 1 Corinthians, what do they look at? At the Corinthians. What a terrible crowd. What a terrible church, etc., etc., etc. But you know, the wonderful thing is that the negative situation was the cause for Paul to write 1 Corinthians. If the Corinthians had been perfect, we wouldn't have 1 Corinthians. Not only that, but as Paul brings out the economy of God, their present situation is such a contrast that enhances the truth. So we need to realize it's because of the negative situation that Paul writes. So instead of focusing on the Corinthians, let's focus on the book. So actually, the 1 Corinthians is not mainly concerned with the problems of the church, as we mentioned, or is not even concerned in this chapter were gifts and miracles. But actually is mainly concerned as an illustration. An illustration of what? Of the Christian life, the church life, and the body life. Right now we're sort of in the middle. This part of the chapter is on the church life. And the second part of the chapter will be on the body life. So, when we think of 1 Corinthians, we need to think as an illustration of the Christian life, the church life, and the body life. Before we come to chapter 12, we have a verse in chapter 1, verse 7. Let's read that verse together. 1 Corinthians 1, 7.
So that you do not lack in any gifts, eagerly awaiting the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
When we read this verse, if we're focused on the situation of the Corinthians, we would say, hey, wait a minute, this is a mistake. Do not lack in any gift, eagerly awaiting the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if we consider further, we will realize these are the initial gifts. That's why they did not lack in any gift. And it refers to the inward gifts issuing from grace, such as the free gift of eternal life and the gift of the Holy Spirit as a heavenly gift, not the outward miraculous gifts. And actually, I will not cover the miraculous gift in chapter 12. You may say, why? Because it is not the miraculous gifts that build the church. It's the gift of grace, the gifts of life that build the church. And we will see this morning that the body of Christ has many members, that we know. But all these members have received a gift. There's no one that does not have a gift. So this is, I don't know to you, but to me it's very encouraging. Our functioning does not depend on who we are, what we are, what we know, what we can do. It depends on the Spirit. Hallelujah! We can function because we all have the Spirit. We all have the gift from God. So this is what we need to see this morning. Actually, in this chapter, we have 9 gifts mentioned by Paul. Now, this does not mean that these are the only gifts that God has given. No, Paul uses this as an illustration, as an example. So let's read verses 2 and 3 of chapter 12 together.
When you were
Gentiles, you were always being led away to dumb idols, whether how you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking in the Spirit of God.
Lord,
the Holy Spirit. Right here we have the first contrast. Verse 2 tells us that the Gentiles, before they became believers, were always being led away to dumb idols. Of course, the idols are dumb, the idols are voiceless, but that makes the worshippers of idols also dumb. And that is in contrast with verse 3 that talks about speaking in the Spirit of God. Amen. We need to be those speaking in the Spirit of God. Now, we're speaking in the Spirit of God. Verse 3 tells us, no one speaking in the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. What does that mean? Such a terrible expression. Well, if we put it more general, no one speaking in the Spirit of God would say anything negative about the Lord Jesus. And then the end of the verse says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. If you notice, the word is in italics. That means is not in the original. So Jesus, Lord, we can also say, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And that reminds us about calling on the Lord. So the governing principle of the gifts is to speak in our spirit with the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit in our spirit. So this kind of speaking is centered on the Lord Jesus. Whenever we speak in the meetings, oh, not only in the meetings, whenever we speak to anyone, we should be focused on Christ. Christ should be the substance, the element, the essence, the center, and the circumference of our speaking. Of course, we also have to speak other things, but in the meetings, let's say, this should be the case. What does speaking prove? Speaking proves that we are living.
Amen.
Not only that we are living, but also that we're worshipers of the living God.
Amen.
Right? 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us the church is the house of the living God.
Amen.
We have a living God. And this living God is a speaking God. You might say, where can you tell me that God is speaking? Well, we just finished Exodus. Remember, God spoke to Moses for 40 days in the mountain, gave him all the details of the tabernacle. You tell me if that's not a speaking God. And it's his mercy, and it's his grace. When we come to him, he speaks to us. We need to have his speaking, and we need to be those speaking to prove that we are not worshipers of dumb idols, but we're worshipers of the living, speaking God.
Amen.
So, day by day, we need to speak Christ to whom? To our husband or to our wife? Oh, that gets a little too close for comfort. We need to learn. We need to learn that our home would be an expression of our precious Lord. So to speak Christ in this way, it shows that we are living. So, again, we are reminded that we need to call on the Lord, especially whenever we realize we're not in the Spirit. Somebody shared the other day, I realized I was not in the Spirit. So what did he do? He called on the Lord. As we call on the Lord, we come back to the Spirit. And I'd like to testify for our dear brother Benjamin Chen. He was one who had the habit of calling on the Lord. He always sat next to me in the meetings, and as soon as he came and sat down, I could hear him calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes, before the meeting started, my mind was on all kinds of things. What I need to do when I go back home, whatever. But Benjamin would bring me back to the Lord. We need to learn this practice of calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus. Amen. We should practice this. That causes us to not only be living, but to be in our spirit. And the thing is, actually, some may get the impression that I'm pushing for speaking. No. If we really enjoy the Lord, if we're fellowshipping with the Lord, if we are receiving His grace, speaking just flows out. It's not, you don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to set your mind on it. It just comes out. And I remember in summer of 1973, I got the joy of being in Los Angeles at Eldon Hall. In fact, my hospitality was nearby. And on the Lord's Day, I was utterly shocked. Somebody on one side of the street would say, "Praise the Lord," with a hand like this. And the other side of the street, somebody would say, "Hallelujah." And the saints were already singing before the meeting time. Wow. How we wish we had that today. You know, it really was amazing. Actually, in the beginning of Eldon Hall, what did you know, here, look at these beautiful chairs, all empty. In those days, the first row was filled with who? With people with long hair, some shoeless, others maybe with slippers. But bit by bit, as they stayed in the meetings, their hair got shorter and they got dressed properly. So we realized how we would like to have that. Well, we can't have that, but in the meeting, we should be those speaking the Lord. Amen. The other day, a sister shared a testimony. She went to a place she had never been before, and somehow it didn't look very good. And there was somebody standing by. So he asked this person, "Is this place safe?" You know what the person answered? "If you trust in the Lord, it is safe." That is amazing. That's the way we should be. Speak about the Lord even when we're in difficult situations, whenever it is. We need to testify. Okay, now we come to verse 4. Let's read verse 4 together. Oh?
By the same Spirit. And they are distinctions of ministries, yet the same Lord. And they are distinctions of operations, but the same God who operates all things in all.
I said verse 4. Don't worry, don't feel bad, we're all the same. The other day, a brother said, "Oh, I didn't know about this." And you know, the Spanish-speaking saints get a bulletin. And said, "Did you read the prayer requests in the bulletin?" "Oh, yes." Sometimes we have announcements here, but we don't hear them. Okay, so it's just verse 4. Here we see in verse 4, There are distinctions of gifts, but the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit, the one and only Spirit. And yet, there are distinctions of gifts, which means there are different gifts, but the one Spirit. The gifts in this verse refer to the outward gifts, the abilities or enablings for services. Some of them, towards the end of the chapter, are miraculous, but the others are caused by grace, are caused by life. Out of the initial gifts mentioned in chapter 1, verse 7, which have been developed. Now let's read verse 5. And
ministries,
the same Lord. So we have the ministries, actually those are services. The gifts in verse 4 are for the services in verse 5. Let's read verse 6.
Same
God operates all things in all. The operations are the works of God. So the gifts are for the services, and the services are for the works. But it's the Spirit that distributes the gifts. When the gifts function, we have the services. When the services function, we have the operations for God. And these operations are to work out God's administration. But how does the Lord obtain the services? It is by the spiritual gifts. But the spiritual gifts depend on something. On what? On our cooperation. If we don't speak, the Spirit has no way. But if we speak, we can build up the church, the body of Christ. And this is what we see in verse 7. Let's read verse 7 together. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what is profitable. So here we see the gifts are the manifestation of the Spirit, and they are given for what is profitable. What is profitable? The building up of the church, the body of Christ. This is what is profitable. That the church would be built up. And then it also says at the beginning of verse 7, to each one is given. Each one has a gift. You may not believe it, but this is what the word says. We have to believe the word. This is very encouraging. You may say, well, why is it encouraging? Because for us to function in the church doesn't depend on who we are, what our background is, what our capabilities are. It depends on whether we are in spirit. If we are in spirit, we have the gift that God has given to us. Now, actually, in the other half of this chapter, we will find out that Paul makes a comparison between the members of the body of Christ and the members of our body. And in this comparison, each member feels they're it. They're indispensable. You will see that next week. So, but the point is, the eyes cannot do what the ear does, and vice versa. The same thing with us. There are things others can do that we cannot do. One of the announcements this morning was about the high schoolers getting help as they prepare, as the seniors prepare to go to college. I could not give that help because I never went to college in the US. So I couldn't do that. And there may be many other things I can't do. But surely there are some things that I can do that you can't do. I can speak Spanish. But there may be other things again. So that means we shouldn't be proud. We shouldn't think we're so indispensable in ourselves. It is only by the Spirit that we are indispensable. I don't know how you feel about that, but it's very encouraging to me. That means I can prophesy, which is to speak for God, speak for Christ, and speak forth Christ if I'm in spirit. Praise the Lord. So this is what it is, right? The Lord Jesus in his resurrection became the life-giving spirit, 1 Corinthians 15:45, and who is now in our spirit, 2 Timothy 4:22. So, what about this? Now we come to what I consider one of the most wonderful verses. That is 1 Corinthians 6:17. Let's read this verse together. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Let's read it again. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. To me, this verse is very encouraging. It tells us that if we are organically united to the Lord, we are one spirit with the Lord. How wonderful is that? This word joined refers to the organic union. Through our believing in the Lord, John 3:15, 16, we have the divine life. And actually this, we have an illustration of this in 1 John 15, the branches of the vine. The Lord is the vine, and we are the branches. It is not only a matter of life, but a matter in life, the divine life. But we need to remember this can only be in our spirit. And this expression, one spirit, refers to the mingling of the Spirit of God, the life-giving Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ with our spirit. Now let's read verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Have you ever thought that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Well, first of all, it seems to me sometimes we don't have the feeling, we don't have the realization that we have a person within us. The Lord Jesus is in our spirit. So, if the Lord Jesus is in our spirit, as the life-giving spirit, our body ends up being a temple of the Holy Spirit. I know we don't think of our body as a temple, and we try to take care of our body not because it's a temple of the Spirit, but because we need to continue to live to an old, ripe old age, right? So then let's read verse 20. For you have been bought with a price, and glorify God in your body. The price, of course, is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 18 and 19. What does it mean to glorify God in our body? It means that our body expresses the Lord. And this is what is called gospel without words. When you, as a believer, have the roof caved in your job, and yet you don't lose your patience, you don't get a temper, you just smile, the unbelievers will say, wait a minute, what happened to that person? There's something different. There's something that I want. When the roof caves in with me, I want to be able to act that way. It's not acting. It's living. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, we need to glorify God even in our body. Express the Lord even in our body. But, of course, that's not easy. For that, we need to bring our body into subjection. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Actually, Paul uses a strong expression, beat up the body. Well, I don't know about that, but it should be in subjection to the Spirit. And it should be presented to the Lord for his service. Romans 12:1. Now that brings us to 1 Peter 4:10. Let's read 1 Peter 4:10. Each one as he has received a gift, ministering yourself. Praise God. Now, here it says, each one. So each one has received a gift. This is the Bible. We need to believe the Bible. We probably don't feel we have any gift, but this is what the Bible says. We need to believe the Bible. But then it says we need to minister it among ourselves. We need to minister. Minister what? As good stewards of the varied grace of God. We're stewards of the grace of God, which is varied, many kinds. What is the grace of God? The grace of God, the aspect of expression, is our enjoyment of the Lord. We need to enjoy the Lord. If we really enjoy the Lord, we will discover it's a much greater enjoyment than the worldly enjoyment. But also, it speaks of life, the life of God. Let's read verse 11. If anyone speaks as speaking oracles of God,
anyone ministers. So, it says, if anyone speaks as speaking oracles of God, we should be oracles of God. We should speak God to one another. But, if anyone ministers as ministering out of the strength which God supplies. Remember when Moses was called, right? How Moses was attracted to this plant that was burning but wasn't consumed. We need to be those. We need to be those burning with the Spirit and not consumed. If we're not in spirit and we have to serve a lot, we will burn out. But if we're in spirit, we don't burn out. The Spirit burns. And we need, according to Romans 12, we need to have a burning spirit. So, praise the Lord. This is wonderful that we have the strength of God. So then that brings us to Ephesians 4:7. Let's read Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the gift of Christ. So here again it says each one. But the wonderful thing is to each one, grace was given. And is given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That can be compared to the blood in our body, that the bigger parts of our body get more blood and the other parts get less. It's the same thing here, the measure of the gift of Christ. But the point is not how big the gift is, but that we all have a gift. So, reviewing in 1 Corinthians 12:7, we see to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. In 1 Peter 4:10, we see each one according as he has received a gift. And now here, Ephesians 4:7 reads, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So we see we all have received a gift. Some may have greater gifts than others, but we all have a gift. I would like to mention, years ago, I don't remember how many, but several years ago, I did mention three times how terrible someone speaks to empty chairs. I did it three times. Nobody moved, so I gave up. But I will give you my testimony. When I came to the church, I was 35 years old. I unfortunately don't remember how long I was in the meetings, but I think less than when I became 40, but maybe when I became 40, I was coming from a denomination where the pastor was the speaker. And the only time I got to speak in the big meeting was, I was a deacon,
And once in a while, I was asked to bring the offering up front and pray for the offering. That was it, period. So when I came to the church, I realized this is my chance, my opportunity. But what am I going to say? What if I say the wrong thing? What if I lose face? So I prayed. Lord, I stand up. You fill my mouth. And that's how I started speaking in the church. So I would suggest, all I can do is suggest, I cannot push. You know, if you push, you get a reaction, so that doesn't work. I would suggest that those between 30s and 40s, those 30s and 40s, if they're touched by the Lord, they would fill up the front row and they would speak in the meetings. Amen. Now the sisters will tell me, I'm sure, when you came to the church and when you prayed and you opened your mouth, there weren't mics like we have here. Yeah, it's difficult to come up to the mic. Not if you're in the front row. You're right there. But maybe the sisters can come two by two. Two is a testimony. Usually, I go to the Spanish-speaking prophesying meeting, so I don't know how the sharing is. But when I was here before we had the prophesying meeting, the sharing was poor. So I want to encourage all those 30s and 40s to be the speaking ones, like I spoke. So that brings us back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. For to one through the Spirit a word of wisdom is given, and to another a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. The word of wisdom is deeper than the word of knowledge, and the word of wisdom comes with revelation, and it's in our spirit. But the word of knowledge gives general knowledge concerning God, concerning what he does, and it's in our mind according to teaching. So we have these two. The word of wisdom, of course, is deeper than the word of teaching. Let's read verses 9 and 10. To different one faith in the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing in the same Spirit, and to another operations of works of power, and to another prophecy, of another discerning of spirit, to a different one various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretations of tongues. So again, here we have miraculous gifts, except for prophecy in verse 10. Prophecy mainly means in the New Testament to speak for God, to speak forth God. So actually in this whole section of 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11, Paul emphasizes two things. One is speaking, the other is the Spirit. So we want to see a little bit as the Spirit. As Christians, we all should speak. When we speak forth the Lord, we are in spirit. So this brings us to Romans Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Let's read them together. One body, we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function. So we who are many, one body in Christ. Again, here we have many members and different functions. So we need to remember we all have different functions. And again, what one can do, another one cannot do. So we see here in verse 5, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. That word individually doesn't mean separate, but it means different. We all are different. Even in our old man, we're all different. We're also different in the spirit. But, this needs our full cooperation that we could function. Let's read verse 6. And having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Of faith. So here we have that the gifts differ according to the grace given. And whether we prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So we all could be different in the gift we have. But again, we all have the gifts, the spiritual abilities that come from what? From God. From the enjoyment of God, the grace. And these gifts differ according to the divine element that we have enjoyed. As we have enjoyed the life of God, we have different gifts. If the body is mature, with considerable growth in life, with a real amount of life, you may have a giver, a bigger gift. But let me explain. First of all, I'm not pushing for anything. I'm encouraging all of us to speak. But what is the issue? Okay, so we all speak, so what? The issue is, if we all speak in spirit, we will build up the church. But not only that. If we speak in spirit, we will grow. If you never speak in a meeting, you don't even know how much you have grown. You don't know anything. But when we start to speak, I need more Bible. I need more truth. I need more spirit. So in the end, it benefits us. But of course, the purpose according to God is that the church can be built. So again, I want to encourage those 30s and 40s to do the speaking.